this month, we're going to be studying the abundant life. Amen. Abundant life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life, but not just life, but abundant life. And that's what we're going to study today. And this month, we're going to cover these topics, the breath of life, going into to how we started out, where Adam and Eve got that original abundant life from. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit, that quickening spirit, and breathing out. Amen. I'll tell you what that means a little later. Because we breathe in the spirit, but there's some things we got to get rid of. Amen. And we're going to be covering this month the power of an endless life. And then finally, eternal life. In between, we're going to have Easter. You know we have Easter this month? We're going to be celebrating the thing that gives us life, his death on Calvary. Amen. So, you know, everything always starts in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, here comes something very special and different to how God created up until this point. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, if you were to read Genesis 1, it seems as if Genesis 2 is a different creation because it already said that God formed man or created man in his image and in his likeness. And then we come to Genesis 2, and it's speaking about God forming man again. And of course, the skeptics and the naysayers and those that don't understand what's going on do not understand that chapter 1 is speaking about our spirit creation. See, our spirit was created in the image of God. The Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So in Genesis 1, what it's speaking about is the creation out of nothing of our soul, our spirit man. It's all the same thing. When it speaks about the spirit of man, it's speaking about your soul. But in Genesis 2, he now took something he had already made and formed it. He took some dust. He took some earth. And the funny thing is, when they've analyzed all the elements that make up the human body, it's the same percentage as the actual earth, proving that's where we came from. Amen. When they analyze the silicon and all the elements that make up the human body, it's the exact same percentages that are in the planet Earth, proving that that's where this physical vessel came from. And so God took something he had already created, then he started to shape it and form it and make this body. But this body was inanimate. That means it was dead. It could not move. It had no life. And he took that soul, that spirit, and he put it inside this body. And then he breathed into his nostrils, this body, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Really, what it's saying is an incorporated soul. Man was alive before, but in a spirit form. But now he was in also in a physical form. And we became a son of God. A body with a soul covered with God's spirit. And that's when Adam was given an abundant life. When you have abundance of something, it means you're not lacking. If you have abundance, you're not lacking. When I used to live in Michigan, we had so many trees. I used to kind of hate the fall because there was an abundance of leaves. I thought I was a tree leaf farmer. If you could have sold it, I would have been rich. I had an abundance. I would clear it up and then more would fall. And there were some trees that, like, they were trying to spite me. They wouldn't fall until I'd cleared up the mess. Then they would fall. We had, sometimes it was so, the kids used to just dive into it. It would like be piles 4 feet high. You see, when you have an abundance of something, you have no lack. What God gave Adam was of his spirit. And there is no lack in God's spirit. There is an abundance. When you have God's spirit, you don't have to have a lack. Amen. I'll be preaching my message. I don't want to get ahead of my message. But God gave Adam an abundant life. There was no expiration date. You know, I'm not very good at shopping. And the other day, I went, and there's a special, this is sounding so bad, there's a special kind of cheese that I like. So when I go, when she sends me out shopping, I usually buy at least three of them. But you know the mistake I made? I didn't look at the date. And I took these cheeses home and I started cutting them up and I was hungry, ready. And boy, this tastes strange. Worst thing is when you take some milk and put it into your coffee and then you start to see it all curdle up. And you look at the date and it says March 1st. So, but Adam was not born with an expiration date. We are born with an expiration date. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. Some time ago, I preached a message on how many days you've lived. I know mine was like 20,000 or something already. And that 70 years is about, what, 25,000 or something like that. Not a whole lot left. But it doesn't matter because the Bible says in John 14, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I heard one preacher said that if he only took 7 days to make the whole earth, and yet he's been taking 2,000 to get your body ready. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Amen. Can you imagine what it's going to be? If he created the whole universe in 7 days, but he's been gone away now for 2,000, can you imagine the mansion that he's going to be prepared for you? Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. So God took this dust and he formed a body and he breathed in it his spirit, his covering. Now it's not revealed here what he said. All it says, he breathed. You try speaking without breathing. Can't do it. It takes breath to speak. And God definitely spoke a word, but it was hidden. It wasn't revealed until the New Testament what he said. Amen. The Bible, and this is a scripture I quote very often. The Bible says in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. That means makes alive. It is only the spirit that can give us an abundant life. Now, an abundant life doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and tribulations. But it means that you can be an overcomer. It means that you can be a victor and not a victim, to steal from Joel Osteen, right? That's what he says. You can be a victor and not a victim. Amen? Because when we have an abundant life, when we have God's spirit breathed into us, that's what God has promised. He said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Christians should be the most joyful people. The truth is we're not. I'll tell you more about that in my message. But the truth is we should be the most joyful people. If we truly believed and focused on what God's word has told us, right? He's told us that we have passed from death unto life. We're not going to, if you're filled with the Spirit and have taken on his name in baptism, you are not going to go to the grave. The only thing that happens when your spirit departs, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be in the throne room. Can you imagine that? Now, it's totally selfish, and I know you would miss me, but I tell you what, anyone who has had a true vision of heaven doesn't want to come back here. Amen. John 6:63 tells us how this process of abundant life comes. It says it's the Spirit that makes alive or quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus explained how you get this abundant life. It's through the words. Now we're beginning to understand what it was that God said in Genesis. All it told us is he breathed. But he did more than that. There were words, I'm sure, that came with that breath. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Remember how God created in Genesis. What's the three words he said? Let there be. And the answer is? One of these days, you're all going to really get that. You're all going to get that. Because I believe that's what he said into this dust that he had formed. He said, let there be life. Let my spirit come into this body. Let it cover this man that I have created. And it was so. The Bible says, and Adam became a living soul. That means he was alive before, but in a soul form. Now he's in a spirit. The Bible tells us this plainly because when this body dies, the scripture says the soul returns to the one who gave it. Now, how can it return if it didn't first come? Right? It has to have first come. So it came from God and it returns to God. Now, depending on what we have done, it can go one of two places. It can either go to the grave or it can go to be in his presence. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that we were given a covering. Adam had abundant life because he was sealed. You know, they tell you when you buy these packages, look for the seal. If the seal is broken, don't mess with it. See, that's what happened to us. The seal was broken. Satan messed with our package, and because of that, we now have decay. We have death. We have diseases. Because the seal, God's covering spirit, because of disobedience, was broken. Isaiah 30 verse 1, here's another scripture I quote many times. Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering. Many people try and make their own covering. That's what Adam and Eve did, right? They felt guilty. They knew now they were naked. They knew they had lost this spirit covering that was probably something we can just imagine that Jesus revealed. I talked about that last week. And they realized that they were naked, so they went and made some fig leaves. And a lot of times when we are guilty, we make fig leaves. The first one we do is blame other people. It was them. Oh, it was because of him. We always point to someone else for the cause of where we are, right? It wasn't us. It was because of someone else. We're always trying to point fingers. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering. Sometimes that covering is pride. Sometimes it's arrogance, that they may add sin to sin. So we see the Bible is telling us that the words that he speaks, those are spirit and they are life. That's giving us the clue to what God said in Genesis when it says he breathed. He didn't just go, but he said something. Because the words that they speak, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that makes alive. So what God breathed must have been the spirit to make this dead dirt, this dust, come alive. And do you understand that's what he's going to do again? Amen. In Ezekiel, I didn't put it in here, but in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel's given a vision of a valley of dry bones. And God asks him, can these live? And he says, I don't know. Sometimes we're facing some issues, some things that look dead, look impossible. But I tell you what, if we can get the Spirit involved, if we can get God to breathe on it, to even use us. He told the prophet, you prophesy, breathe on it. And what was it that he breathed on it? And what happened? Came alive. But it was the second breath that actually did it. The first time, the sinews and the flesh formed, but it was still dead bodies. And he said, prophesy again. It was that second breath. Sometimes when you're in a race and you're winded and you have to wait till you get that second wind and then, okay, I can make it. I can continue. Sometimes we're in this race and it feels like it's too much. We feel so winded. We feel like we're going to give up. But if we will just wait upon the Lord and ask for that second breath, amen, for the Spirit to come to make us alive, to give us strength, amen. So we see that the words that were breathed were words. That's what the scripture is telling us. And we will find out a little bit more. So the breath of God is his spirit, of course. And that's what gave Adam abundant life. Because in Ephesians 6, it tells us we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You check the seal when you buy stuff? Because if the seal is broken, you better put it back. You don't want to take that home because you don't know what's been happening with that thing. Right? That all started about, 25 years ago. It used to be they never sealed up stuff like that. But if you remember many years ago, someone started to spike some Tylenol or with stuff. And so that's when they started sealing them. Sometimes you have to really fight to get that seal off. There's certain things, they seal it up so good, you really have to fight to get that thing open. You can't do it with your hands. You got to get some knife and start to cut it. I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit has sealed you, it's not an easy thing. The Bible said nothing can separate us from the love of God. The only thing that can separate us is us if we walk away. But when you're sealed, it's just like that packaging. Sometimes you have to get a knife and some scissors, and you're there trying to get this thing, and you're wondering why they sealed it so much. It's frustrating, but it's for our protection. We may not like it, but it means that if we can't get in there, no one else can. When God has sealed us, if you will place your life under His protection, His covering, listen, the Bible says your soul is sealed until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. So the words that brings life are from God. And they are what can give us an abundance of life. That means not just a little bit. But as I said, we should be the most joyous people. Now let's all be honest. I'm not the most joyous person. Especially on a Monday morning. When I haven't had enough sleep. And you got to get up. That's not a joyous time. Amen. But if we knew. Like, can you remember when you were a child, when you were expecting a present and it was Christmas Day? Our kids wouldn't want to go to sleep. And we've been up all night and they would be waking us up like at, I don't know, 5 a.m. Okay, let's go. What? We didn't want to be bothered at that time. Christmas Day was always the day I was the most tired because we were up late wrapping presents and they wouldn't go to sleep. And now they're up at 5 a.m. and they want to open stuff. See, we should be excited. The Bible says new every day are His mercies and His blessings. You know, we have such a bad attitude. Me, I'll point to me. I won't say you. I'll say me. You all have really great attitudes. Wonderful attitudes. But me sometimes, you know. I think my dad used to tell a joke and the guy said, good morning. And he says, what's good about it, you know. That's our attitude sometimes. But we as Christians, if we believe that we have God's Spirit and covering, we should have abundant life. We should have abundant life and be able to give. People should want to be around us, not to be far. We should be so, don't you like being around happy people? Joyful people? Amen. There's some people I really admire because they're always, I don't want to call on you, but you seem to be always joyful most of the time, 99% of the time. Amen. You will have a good word. That's how we should be, because the Bible tells us that we have been given life and more abundantly. We should have enough joy to share. We should be encouraging others. We should be lifting up others. Hallelujah. Because His Spirit gives us not just life, but abundant life. Amen. Let's continue. In John 20:21 is really the revelation, because here comes the second breath. Because of man's sin in Genesis, he had lost that covering. The seal had been broken. And man could no longer have that relationship with God because that covering had been broken. And so now man started to die. They started to age. I can imagine, you know, maybe it was 10 years after the fall that Adam woke up one morning. And he looked at Eve, or she looked at him and said, hey, what's that hair color there? What's that? Something that's, is that something in your hair? Stop that. It's my hair. It's turning color. It's getting, that's white. I had a shock. I looked and I have a little white in the eyebrows. Nobody told me that. Nobody told me that was supposed to happen. Amen. I mean, I understood the hair and other places, but eyebrows? Can you imagine the shock? Because they had not, the Bible doesn't tell us how long he had lived until the fall. But it was quite a while till he had the first, till he had Seth. The Bible think it was 130 years. But after the fall, they started to age. You know, the wrinkles start to come. That's one thing you will not be able to stop. You see, because God has destined. And this is what we got to understand. God, it's God's plan for this body to die. We don't like hearing that, but it's the truth. It's because it's the only way He's going to put this soul, this spirit, in a new one. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, jumping off of cliffs or taking stuff. But do not fear death if you're a child of God. In fact, it's going to be your escape route. Amen. I'm not advocating death. God has a work for us yet to do. But don't fear it. I did not cry too much at my father or mother's funeral. I did my crying before that because I knew where they had gone. There's a story, a fictional story I read about Lazarus, and I've probably told you this before, but you know when Jesus came and he was going to bring him back, it says Jesus wept. And in the book, in the story, the reason why Jesus wept was not because he was because of his death, but it was because he was bringing him back. He was taking him from heaven. And Lazarus had gone to meet his family. You understand, he was living with his sister. Why was he living with his sister? Well, at his age, he would have been married and had a family. But in the story, they had died. They're already there. So Jesus wept because he was taking him back. Do you understand that God has promised us that he, with this Holy Spirit, there is going to be life and more abundantly. The Bible says that we have passed from death unto life. Now I'm going to read you what really was said in Genesis 1, which was said again, the second breath. In John 20:21, just before Jesus was going to be arrested and crucified, then said Jesus, this is actually after the resurrection. He said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, just as in Genesis. But this time, we know what he said. "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That's what we need today, every day, for God to breathe upon us. Every day we need a fresh breath, so to speak. You know, we need some more breathing on us. We need God to breathe on us every day. It's not that we receive his spirit every day, but sometimes we need an awakening. We need a refreshing. Amen. Hallelujah. As the scripture says, new every day. Amen. So, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. And saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." In other words, receive my spirit. Now, this was prophetic because he had not yet died, right? He had not yet died, but he was telling them prophetically what was going to happen. In John 3:6, and we talked about this yesterday, what is our fundamental doctrine? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised, Nicodemus, that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. Wherever it wants, the wind blows. You can't see it, but guess what? You hear it. So it is with some people. So it is with some special people. So it is with the minority of people. No, it says, so it is with everyone. No exceptions. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. What is he talking about? He's talking about you have to have God breathe upon you. You have to have that word receive you, the Spirit, in your soul. Because that's the only way you're going to get to that abundant life living. Now, we see that this worked also in Genesis. How were they living? How did they have this abundant life? And what I'm trying to tell you, it's a daily thing. We were not made to live without eating. Fasting is great. But if you cannot fast for indefinitely, we were made to eat. That's why God created the plants. He said, "I've given you every green herb for what?" For food. For food. God designed our bodies for food. But the food that we were to eat was to come from him. That's the difference. This is the key to understanding Genesis. And the Lord God planted a garden. He took time to plant. He didn't do this by a speaking word, but he here does an action. God planted a garden, and you all know this. What do you plant? You don't plant trees, do you? Not normally. You plant a seed. And then in the New Testament, the seed is revealed to be the Word of God. So do you understand that the food that they were to eat came from where? The Word of God. Do you understand? So we were designed to eat, but everything we were designed to eat should come from Him. And that's what gives us eternal life. That's why Adam and Eve could live forever, because the tree of life came from God. He planted it. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And then there is a, in the Hebrew, there is a semicolon, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Luke 8:11 reveals the mystery. See, in the Old Testament, things are concealed. In the New Testament, things are revealed. Luke 8:11 tells us what God planted. Now, the parable is this. See, the disciples didn't understand, so Jesus gave them a private briefing. He was explaining his word. What does it say? Read it with me. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So what God planted in the garden came from him. So what man was to eat was from him, and good for food. When you eat the word of God, that's good for food. That's good for food. That's why Jesus said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? That's how you get abundant life. That's how you see, if you don't eat for a long time, you guess what happens? You get weak. You get frail. And people don't understand that they've not been eating God's word. So guess what they get spiritually? Weak. And they get frail and don't understand it. Why they have no power? Because if you haven't eaten, you can't really do too much. But the more you eat God's word, it's good for food. That's what the Bible tells us. So the revelation is that what God planted, in fact, was his word. So Adam and Eve were getting fed two ways. Their physical body was getting fed from the word that God had planted. The actual trees came from him. And they were getting fed directly from the voice talk with God. So their physical flesh was getting fed by the word of God. Their spirit man was getting fed by the word of God. That's why Adam and Eve had abundant life. Not a little life. They had abundant life. Amen. That's what they had, abundant life. Amen. In Luke 4:4, this is it. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Imagine if we were really getting our physical fed by the word of God and our spiritual, we'd be so strong. Now you wonder why we don't get certain miracles and stuff done is because we've not been feeding well. We've not been eating well. We skip church. We skip Bible study. We don't come to Sunday school. We only eat one meal a week. Try it. How strong would you be after 6 months eating one meal a week? Not very strong. Right? Not very strong. And I can honestly tell you this. The strongest I am is when I'm in the Word. When I'm reading God's Word. When I'm hearing a Word. When I hear that encouragement, it does something to my spirit. That's the abundant life being stirred up within you. You can't stay away from God's word and be strong spiritually. It's impossible because Jesus said it. Man shall not live by bread alone. You eat just, go out to Pick and Save and you just live on that and you don't eat God's word, you're going to die. Spiritually, you're going to die. Because the Bible tells us the only way we're going to have that abundant life is when we hear a word. The Bible tells us also that faith comes by, and hearing by. So no wonder we will have no faith, no spiritual strength, not able to do anything. You know, when in World War II, when they came to the concentration camps and they found all of these thousands of people, most of them, a lot of them had been killed, but a lot of them that they found, they were almost just skin and bones. Why? Because they'd been starved physically. Imagine if God could give us some spirit goggles. It'd be scary. It'd be scary, wouldn't it? You know, some people who physically may be big, spiritually we'd be going, man, we've got to feed that guy. We've got to feed that lady. Come on, let's get the stove going. Let's get the spiritual food going. Amen. This is how we get spiritual strength, is by it's what we take in. You know, you can eat a lot and still not be healthy if you don't eat the right things. Or worse still, you start eating the wrong things. This is the parable. The seed is the word of God. And Jesus said, unto him, to Satan, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's why people who skip spiritual breakfast, they're living on one or two meals a week. That truly, that's what we're saying. Proverbs 15:4. Now this is the proof. I want you to read this. A wholesome tongue is a tree of, it's speaking about words. A wholesome tongue, the words that come from God, is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The opposite is true. Certain words can kill you. Kill you. In fact, it's words that probably hurt us the most. Right? We hear some negative words, or we hear somebody has been speaking about us, and that just kills our spirit. It depresses us. It takes away our joy. Amen. So the death mechanism, as I've taught before, how Adam and Eve died spiritually is because they ate the wrong word. They ate Satan's word. He sowed a seed of doubt by saying, hath God said. Whenever you question God's word, you're eating somebody else's food. God's words do not have any doubt in them. No doubt. No doubt. That's what Jesus said, if you believe, doubting nothing. Isn't that what the scripture said? So when we question God's word in faithlessness, in doubt. Now it's okay to ask God questions, but when we are asking God questions from a position of a lack of faith, then we're eating the wrong words. Romans 10:17 explains, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God loves you? Let me say it again, because that's what he asked Peter. I'm reversing it now. Do you believe that God loves you? Amen. Because you have to be sure of that. Because Satan will want to take, that's the first thing he'll take away from you, is God doesn't love you. That's why this is happening. That's why you're in trouble, because God doesn't love you. That's why you're going through this. I'll give you the answer in my message anyway. I won't go there. So the death mechanism was Eve listened to another's word. The opposite of abundant life is death, when you have a lack of life. And that happens when you're listening or taking in poison. Poison. Poison comes in many forms, you know. Gossip, that's poison. It's killing your spirit, even though you don't know it. There's some things that are highly toxic, and they're the most dangerous because you can't see, taste, or smell them. When I was working at a steel plant many years ago, one of the things that killed a lot of people was CO, carbon monoxide. And they said the reason why it was so dangerous was you couldn't smell it, you couldn't see it, you couldn't taste it. All you'd know suddenly is that you were dropping down, that your breath was gone. That's what it did. It took your breath. And you had to walk around in certain places with a monitor because you couldn't tell. You have to have the spirit monitor to know certain places is death to you because you can't see it. It's so clever. It's so subtle. But it will take away your breath. It will and that's what killed a lot of people at this plant, is because when they had a leakage of the CO2, you couldn't see it. It had no smell. And you would be walking around and suddenly your breath would be gone. And you couldn't get up. And you would die of asphyxiation because your breath was gone. That's how the devil works. He's so clever. He wants to take away God's breath. And so you had to walk around in certain places with a CO2 monitor. With a carbon monoxide monitor. And it would beep. And it was so small. It was parts per million. That's all it needed. Just some parts per million. You know, oh, this is harmless. This is not anything bad. Just some parts, 20 parts per million was enough to kill you. 20 parts in a million. That's how subtle Satan's way of taking away our spiritual breath is. He said to Eve, hath God said? And you know, the most dangerous way is when something has got a little truth in it. You will be as wise as God. You will know you will be just like God. You'll know the knowledge of good and evil. That part was true. So bad faith, bad beliefs, bad religions also come by hearing. And that's why we can't listen to everything unless you're really rooted and grounded. I'm laughing because last night I was listening to something. I was working on my Bible study, and I searched for something. I was searching on abundant life, and what came up was a whole bunch of negative people bashing, you know, our denomination. Oh, this is a cult. And they had a lot of truth. Now, somebody who was new and listening to that would go, man, this is terrible. Their faith would have been damaged because a lot of what they said was true. You know, when you have 42,000 ministers and you have, you know, 10,000 licensed ministers and you have over a million people, there's going to be people in there that mess up and do some terrible things. And if you just highlight that, boy, this is terrible. What kind of place is that? And so you have to be careful what you listen to. What you take, people send me stuff all the time, and I'm thinking, my goodness, why can't they see? They need a carbon monoxide monitor. This is death. This is not something that gives life. When you focus on the negative, that's what you will reap. I've been told, I don't know if it's true, but the way they train FBI agents to distinguish counterfeit money is not by studying the counterfeit money. They give them the real money. Then they know when the counterfeit comes. So you don't have to study the negative to know the truth. Just study the truth. Just take in the truth. Just eat the truth. That's what you need to study. Not the false. That'll be along the road. But you take in the truth. So bad beliefs comes when we are eating from the wrong tree. When we're taking in the source that is going to sap our faith. And this is what kills the abundant life. So by listening and having faith in another, she believed what she had been told. Now Adam, the Bible says, was not deceived. But that's not revealed to the New Testament. You see the picture? The Old Testament concealed, the New Testament revealed. Paul says that the man was not deceived. And we've been through why he did it. You know, I'm not saying he was right, but he loved her so much that he was trying to save her by participating. Amen. So instead of life came death. Genesis 2:16, this is how we lose abundant life, is by disobedience. Is by disobedience. By listening to the wrong things that will kill our faith. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now, I've pointed this out before, that God was giving him choice. He said, you can eat from any tree. I'm not going to stop you. God is not going to stop you messing stuff up. Because he's not going to make you a robot. He wants you to freely choose. You see what it says? You may freely eat. But... what I want you to do is to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And maybe on a Tuesday night, I will go into why that was. Because the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now in the New Testament, or in the whole Bible, it gives us a kind of a picture. It says that strong meat is only for those who have what? Been weaned from the breast. You can't give a baby a steak. There's nothing wrong with a steak, but you can't give a baby a steak. Why? Choke him, kill him. So we get a little bit of an idea. It's not that the knowledge of good and evil by itself is wrong. It's just that Adam and Eve could not handle that. Could not handle that. In Psalms 8:4, it gives us again the picture of what happened. And it uses two different words for man in the same verse, giving us an illustration of what happened. What is man? And this word is enosh. It means mortal man. It's describing how man fell from being son of God man to mortal man. It says, what is man? Enosh, that thou art mindful of him. The son of man, that is, and this time it uses the word Adam, which was the son of God, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him. See, we were made God's highest creation. I preached about that, that God wanted us to be the guardianship of his glory. But because our vessel was corrupted, that could not happen. That could not happen. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, this pattern of Old Testament concealed, New Testament revealed happens here because in Hebrews it's revealed in who he's speaking about Jesus. For thou hast made him who also was the only begotten, God in the flesh. You hast made him lower than the angels. But Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, explains why. For the purpose of suffering death. That was the purpose. We also were made lower than the angels so that we could die. Now that may seem a horrible thing that God decided that we had to die. But it was the only way to fix the problem. Right? If the bottle is cracked and leaking, what do you have to do with the stuff inside? You got to get it out of there. You got to get a new brand bottle and save what you can. If you leave it with the crack, what's going to happen? It's going to be all over the place. It's going to be a mess. That's what happened. Our seal was broken. And the only way God could fix it was to get a brand new bottle. Amen. But he's going to do it. And it's going to be a thing of glory and a thing of beauty. Because the Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We don't really appreciate what God is telling us there. I don't think we can. But God is saying we're going to be like him. Because truly we were called to be his son and his daughters. Amen. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him originally in Genesis 1, he says, to have dominion. And this blows my mind. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Do you understand that? What's that saying? It meant everything God had created, we originally were going to be over. And it applies only to sons of God, because the only person that applied to in the book of Hebrews was Jesus Christ. And I pointed that out. It says, but we don't yet see everything under his feet. But the day is coming. The day is coming. There's going to be one day when the angel, as I said, put one foot on the sand and one foot on the sea and says, let there be no more delay. Let there be no more delay. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and we shall reign and rule with him. See, we were created, as I said, for God's glory, to have this abundant life. Thou madest him. We were originally created to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, in Genesis 8 or 9, when Noah comes out of the ark and God gives him the commands again, he has to leave out dominion. It's not there. In Genesis 1, dominion is there before the fall. But after that, he just tells him, be fruitful and multiply. But the dominion is missed. Only in Jesus Christ can we have that abundant life. Is dominion returned? Is that joy, is that hope returned? So the death mechanism was the loss of abundant life. Now man had an expiry date on it, just like the milk. Check it when you open the fridge, right? Okay, still got another few days left. Okay, it's the actual date. I wonder now, should I try it? And you open it and you... you open it and you start smelling. Okay, I think it's okay. I'm going to try this. See, that's why we can't put faith in what Satan says. Because Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. He was a liar from the beginning. So the death mechanism is revealed as unbelief. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? If the Lord says you shall live and not die, you shall live and not die. See, they believed the word of the deceiver and they lost their covering. Amen. See, the serpent's word is not life-giving. It's death-producing. It's the opposite of abundant life. When you start listening to Satan, and you know who Satan speaks through today? People. That's who he speaks through. You're not going to hear a voice most of the times. Someone is going to drop a word in your ear that's going to take away your joy. You'll leave here today and you'll let something get into your spirit and it just take away your joy. It was death producing. Abundant life is only found through the Spirit. I'm rushing here. And the proof of this is in Job 34:14 says, if God were to gather himself and his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man should again turn back into dust. If he was to take away his covering, amen. So the knowledge of good and evil is receiving a word but not from God. Choosing faith in our sense is what we can see, taste, and touch, which is the truth but not the whole truth. It's the truth. It's some truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's so deceiving. Our sight is so deceiving sometimes. That's why they can do these optical illusions, right? You think it's one way, but it's not. When you look closely, oh, it's not really like that. Amen. To regain abundant life, and I'm rushing here, we have to breathe in the word every day. We have to just soak in that word. Now, I said, though, that breath is a two-way thing. Your body breathes in oxygen, but you can't keep that breath in there. You have to breathe out. To get more breath, what you got to do? Breathe out. How do we spiritually breathe out so that we can breathe in God's word more and more? Well, let's look at that. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them. How? By the breath of his mouth. This is how we get abundant life. So spiritual breath, that's how we know something's alive. One of the first tests of life is he breathing? If there's a body on the ground, the first thing they do, does he have a pulse? Is he breathing? And they put a mirror to see if it will fog up, you know, to see if there's condensation. That's the first test of life. Are you breathing spiritually? Are you exhaling? Because you can't take in more breath unless you let some stuff out. What is the stuff we got to let out? Well, I'm going to give you my take on it. Amen. Let's go on. Continued inhaling by the Spirit gives abundant life. Now, when the breath comes in, it does something. It gets converted and it is mixed with the blood in our lungs and it goes and it powers our cells. And there's an exchange, though. The blood brings back all of the stuff that we can't use. After the oxygen is taken off, what's left is the carbon dioxide. And that has to be breathed out. Spiritually, what is the carbon dioxide? How do we cleanse from the wrong words? Well, I'm going to tell you. We breathe the word in, and we exhale by confession. We have to confess words out. That's how we cleanse the body. By confessing our sins immediately to God and claiming his forgiveness, we breathe in his word and we give words out of confession and of praise and of worship. We get rid of those negative spirits by asking the Holy Spirit to control and empower. Spiritual breathing, like physical breathing, is a process of exhaling the impure and inhaling the pure. An exercise in faith that enables you to experience God's love and forgiveness and walk in the Spirit as a way of life. So let everything that hath breath. Oh, that's the breathing out. That's the breathing out. When we're going to do that in seconds, we're going to breathe out. We're going to praise God. And we're going to inhale the words that come from the pulpit and the words that you've heard today. You know what we're doing then? We're starting to live an abundant life. Because not only are we breathing in, but we're breathing out. You got to do both. You got to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, let me give you an example in the Old Testament, and then I'm way out of time. You must first breathe out to breathe in. Before God can fill you, you got to exhale. We do that by confession, one of the ways. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Now, Daniel really didn't have much to confess about. But he still exhaled. O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. You know what he was doing? He was exhaling. I told you someone came in here one time and said they don't sin, they're perfect. So they're dead because they're not breathing out. You got to exhale some of the bad stuff you've picked up this week. When in second service you start to worship, you're exhaling. And then you're going to inhale some words and some encouragement. He says, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly. You know what he was doing? He was breathing out. He was giving words out of confession. So confession is exhaling. You must also breathe in by inhaling. Daniel 9:21. So now here comes some words to him. He's breathed out, and now God is sending some words to him. So you get the whole cycle? Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, you can stand, I'm sorry, I went way over, touched me about the time of the evening oblation and informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, now here's some words coming to him. So now he's going to breathe in. I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Do you see how this process works? To get abundant life, you have to breathe out. By confession, by worship, then you breathe in the words of life. Hallelujah. And that's how you begin to have abundant life. So the complete cycle is exhaling by confession, inhaling every word of God. That's what brings abundant life. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God. That's how we're born again. The breath of God, in other words, because the word of God is the breath of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to end with this last verse that I started with. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and destroy, to take away your breath. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to do some spiritual breathing today. We're going to breathe out some confession in our prayers, and we're going to breathe in, hallelujah, the word of God. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you today, Lord, that for your presence and anointing, your love and your grace. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to just spiritually feed us, Lord. Give us even more breath, Lord God. Help us to experience and walk in that abundant life. Lord, we thank you for your blessing and your greatness and your love. Oh, Lord, we lift up our hands in worship and we breathe out praise. Hallelujah. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise right now.